Well, good morning, everybody. It's May 28th, 2020. And regardless of the date or time, my name is Tyler Jacob. Welcome to the radio. And it is a pleasure to have you here on what's going to be an 87-degree day here in Maine. Yesterday it was in the 90s, and I actually had to schlep an air conditioner out of the garage because we rarely use it, but there you have it. Okay, so welcome to summer, and I hope it stays summer, and I hope everybody, we know there's a pandemic out there, and the 100,000 threshold was passed in the U.S. deaths yesterday, which is very sombering and sobering and all that sort of thing, but we're all still here, and I hope you have a wonderful summer, and make some good plans, and enjoy your kids and yourselves, et cetera, post-Memorial Day week. We have a lovely show today. You're going to wind up loving Amy Leask. Okay, Amy is an award-winning author, educator, children's interactive media producer. We found her at Red T, like the letter T, Red T Media. And it's redtkids.com, like the letter T again, redtkids.com. And we are going to talk about, for younger kids, the idea of teaching them philosophy. And I'm not talking about just learning who Aristotle was. I'm talking about the ability to think logically, okay, and to apply your great thoughts to what needs to be done. Amy's the expert, not me. But when I talked to her about this a few weeks ago, we set this up, I just love this. All right, it's just amazing. I think you're going to love it, too, and I think you're going to find it absolutely fascinating for your kids, be they your kids or your students, okay? It's going to be really, really cool. Again, it's all about Red T Media, redtkids.com. I'm going to bring Amy on in just a second. We're going to archive this EduTalk show over at education-talkradio.org, and it's our website. You probably know that. And if you go over to the various icons there, go back and past issues all the way, I think, to 2011. It's just amazing, and occasionally people do go back and listen that far back to some old shows. It's really, really never seems to, never ceases to amaze me, okay, that people do that. So education-talkradio.org, we put a new schedule up on Saturdays, and obviously it stays there all week, and we archive all the shows over there, all right? Equity and access is what we're all about these days as well, and we have our website, which is ace-ed.org. That's the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Note the acronym, ace-ed.org. American Consortium for Equity, ACE, in Education. You dig, ace-ed.org. It's really a good group. We're growing like crazy. Our online, excuse me, my voice cracked. Our online journal is ACE, is A-C-N-E. That's over there. Everything we do over there is free. So we want you to sign up if you believe in K-12 equity. Join in, put your voice in there over at ace-ed.org. Again, everything is free, and we're trying to get all the news out, etc. Okay, without further ado, let me bring on somebody you're going to love. Hello, Amy. It's Larry.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. They're going to love you like I love you, Amy.
Oh,
so
thank
cool.
You. Yeah, thank you for the very warm welcome and the wonderful introduction. Yeah. I'm blushing.
It is sincere, my dear. I think you're the only person in the whole world who's thought this through and is actually doing something about it, because if you understand philosophy, you understand how to think. Am I right, Amy?
Absolutely. Yep. And thankfully, I'm not the only person doing this. I'm one of a small but mighty movement, and I'm really excited to share with everyone today.
Now, the small and the mighty do very well. The mice that roared, we can call it that, okay? I hope we get a lot of people really in. I hope we get a lot of people interested in Red T Media, and I hope they go over there again. It's Red T, that's the letter T, redtkids.com. How'd you get involved in this? Just talk about that, Amy. Amy Leask, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. I was a teacher for a long time. I taught big kids, though. So I taught pretty much everything from age 12 and up, so kind of high schoolish, all the way to adult education. And when I was teaching college at one point, I was teaching philosophy classes and humanities classes, and it made me kind of sad that there were 18 to 25-year-olds who were brilliant people and really eager to learn and great personalities and a joy to teach, who had never really learned to put an argument together or to disagree
yeah.
peacefully
right.
or even to just express an idea clearly. It was there was a skills gap. And I started doing research, you know, there's got to be a way to do this when people are younger. And there was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually from, you know, from the other end of the educational spectrum that I decided I wanted to teach it to children.
Wow, that's wonderful. And when we talk about Red Tea, your company, your group in particular, what grades are you aiming at? It strikes me that it's, I may be wrong here. It strikes me for upper elementary, but I could be completely wrong on that. So go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of the books are for the first series that we ever produced called Think About It, Philosophy for Kids. Those were sort of for 8 to 12-year-olds. So, yeah, the upper elementary
mm-hmm.
Level. But
middle
in
school.
Recent years,
school,
we've decided,
yeah.
you know, little wee kids can do this too. So we do have three books right now for picture books. And they, you know, they can be read to preschoolers or kindergartners as well.
Okay, and what do you find when you do this? And again, I'm going to keep congratulating you on this because I think it's just great. You know, we talk about STEM and we talk about literacy, and I used to teach history and all that. But when you understand the logic, okay, when you understand logic, you can argue anything. Bishop Tutu, the South African gentleman, once said, when you're in an argument, don't raise your voice. Improve your argument. Okay? And that's pretty simple. Don't raise your voice. Improve your argument. But if you want to bring people along logically, you have to understand the whole idea. That's what philosophy is all about, right? Amy, are you now an expert in philosophy? What do you think?
I don't know. The thing about philosophers is I think very few of us would consider ourselves experts. You know, the questions that we sort of deal in, they've been asked for thousands of years. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
Socrates himself made a career out of saying, I don't know, can we talk about this? You know, I haven't figured this out yet. And that's probably what I love most about philosophy is that it isn't a finite thing that it keeps going. And, you know, every new generation of philosophers brings a new set of answers to these big questions and brings a new perspective and new questions get asked. So I wouldn't call myself an expert any more than anyone else did. I do have a background in philosophy. I did my master's degree in it. And
there
I taught for a long time. And, you know, I'm someone with a background in it, with a passion for it. So,
yeah, and a passion for education for young kids.
Yeah.
And a talent, if I may, to write about it. You wrote a lot of the books that I wrote in your son. I mean it. I mean, it's incredible stuff. Do me one favor. And this is actually an interesting question. Everybody knows what philosophy is. We just say that. They know that. But can you do me a favor and do the audience a favor? Can you define that discipline? What is the definition of that discipline? Or give it a shot anyway.
I can certainly give it a try. That's another philosophy question that philosophers have been asking for a while. Like, what are we doing here? You know.
Yeah, but if they answer it, they're out of business, so I hope they never do.
Exactly.
Do the best you
can.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would say philosophy has two parts. For one thing, it's a certain type of question that gets asked. They're big questions, quite often why questions, about who we are, how we relate to each other, how the world works. And these are questions without one definite answer. These are questions that are ongoing, that are, you know, full of gray
mm-hmm.
areas. So that's one part of philosophy, is the asking of this certain kind of question. And then I think there's another part where you learn to think logically. There's the mechanics of it. You know, how do I get answers to this question? Not in a way that, you know, provides me closure on them, but in a way that I know that I'm at least reasoning my way through it. I'm not falling into logical,
cool.
you know, potholes and that sort of thing. So I think it's a kind of question, and I think it's a certain type of thinking that goes with it.
Yeah, it's really so fascinating. When people visit your website, let me give it again. Red T, that's the letter, redtkids.com. Okay? What are they going to see over there? Now, they can purchase your books, certainly. We'll talk about those. But you know yourself, you're a multimedia producer. Talk about what else is over there.
We've tried over the years, and we've been at this for almost a decade, to basically reach, and here's where the accessibility piece comes in equity. I want every kid, no matter what kind of learning style they have or what interest they have or where they live technologically speaking, I want them to find a way into conversation. So yes, we do print books and, you know, love doing those. Those are great. But all of our print books are also interactive ebooks. We've done apps with mini games in them. Over the years, we've done animated shorts on our YouTube channel, other video series that were live action. And we have an entire, if you go to the page called Teach on redtkids.com, the whole page is parent and teacher resources that are downloadable and free. There's lesson plans, there's craft projects, all kinds of stuff. So we really want to get as many people into this dialogue as we can. And so we've been really sort of,
I hope so,
trying to be flexible and creative about the media that we use, and recognizing that not every kid is going to sit down for a lengthy discussion. Not every kid is going to want to read, but they can still be part of it.
We to coin a bad pun, we have to be philosophical about the position we find ourselves in. This is going to be a wonderful exercise for students, and I think the educators too. And this brings up an interesting question. Most teachers, and I'm gonna take a shot here, 99% of them probably didn't. If they had a philosophy course, they forgot about it. Okay? Then maybe I'm up to 99.5%. And they may be scared, you know, as we talk about philosophy, because it can be, and this is what you're trying to overcome, a scary topic. Okay? It's for the elite or something like that, or for a far greater thinker than I am. That would be a wrong way to start. How will the teachers teach this using your materials? What are you finding?
Well, first of all, I think part of the whole movement of philosophy with children is to redefine what philosophy is. That it doesn't have to be, you know, and there's nothing wrong with academic philosophy. You know, I was in that world for a while too, and it was lovely. It was great.
Sure.
There's always a place for that. But I think there's a place
for... Well, I don't mean
for,
there's anything wrong with it. I hope I didn't give that impression. I'm just saying people said to be scared of it. Okay.
Yeah,
oh my God, I'll never be able to understand that. That's too deep for me. And now I'm expected to teach it. Oh my God. But no, that's not what we're talking about here. Just talk about the teacher experiences that you're hearing. And again, I can guarantee you, when you work with teachers, I mean, most of those teachers probably didn't even have a philosophy course in college.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, with children, whether it's in the classroom or at home, it's okay if it only happens in small bites. And it's absolutely fine if it happens through play or art projects or, you know, sports or anything like that. It can be completely cross-curricular, and it can just be sort of planting questions into your regular curriculum and stopping for a moment here
that.
And there and going, okay, well, why do we think this way? You know, we're doing all these gorgeous paintings in art class, or we're doing a, you know, sculpture or whatever. Let's take a second and look at that and ask, why is that beautiful? What does it mean for something to be beautiful? How do we know if we've created good art? Or in gym class, you know, when we are going through all these games and sports and that sort of thing, it's okay to stop every so often and say, is what we're doing fair? You know, are the rules of these games fair? Can we reinvent them?
Right.
So, yeah, so it doesn't have to
That's exactly what that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Well,
it doesn't have to be sort of a focused effort on teaching philosophy. You don't have to have your grades doing Plato's Republic, of course. You know, and if you're not familiar either, you know, it's okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Don't do grade three with Plato's Republic. Now, I remember that was hard in freshman college. Okay,
yeah.
That was hard. Okay.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So
I loved it. But it was,
I would say to teachers, don't be afraid. You know, this is it can be worked into your regular program. You don't have to go back and get a philosophy degree to do this. You know, you learn with your students, which is a beautiful thing too.
And we're going to talk about that, what that looks like in a second. But really it is, it's just applying the logic of philosophy to the questions that need to be asked. Okay?
Yeah.
And sometimes we avoid those questions because we may be scared of the answers. But the point is, maybe people have a different answer than you do. All right? And
yeah.
we can learn from this. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say it's okay. You know, I'm gonna sort of let teachers and parents alike off the hook. If you don't know, that's absolutely fine. And it's, you know, in philosophy, you are given permission to say, I don't know, because that's a jumping
off
point for exploration and inquiry. You know, okay, none of us know this. Let's go at it together. Let's dig into it together and let's see what happens.
I think it's one. I encourage every teacher to check this out again. I really do. RedTKids.com. I mean, it's just, this to me is fascinating. When you see it happen, Amy, and I know you have, as your products are out there in classrooms, when you see teachers teaching philosophy using your materials, we can say that, what do you see, okay, amongst the kids and the teacher? What do you see?
It's really interesting.
What does it look like?
Lights go on. It's probably the most beautiful thing you see is when a student says, I've been thinking about that for a long time, and I've been waiting for someone to bring it up. I didn't think I was supposed to ask that question, or I didn't quite know how to phrase it.
Wow.
But that's the most wonderful thing to hear, is that someone puts up their hand and says, yeah, I didn't know what that was called, but I was really curious about that, and I've been asking my parents, and they weren't sure. And so that's really nice. It's also really nice.
Well, can I ask what that topic was? Do you remember what a given topic was when that happened?
Oh,
I think that's fascinating.
It's happened a bunch of
times.
Just
one that comes to mind.
Let's see, one that comes to mind. Kids are really, really concerned with fairness. That and justice, and you know, we're talking about equity and accessibility, especially when they're sort of, it seems to be sort of around the grade 3 to 5 mark. And I know this because I have a child in that grade level too. Their sense of justice and their sense of, you know, looking at power relationships and, you know, what am I allowed to do and what are my rights and what are my responsibilities? That sort of blossoms in that age group. And there are a lot of kids when you say, okay, well, what do you want to talk about with respect to that? The hands shoot up. You know, I have big ideas about that. They're really into sort of the difference between imaginary and real. That's something else that comes up, even with smaller kids. They want to be able to define things. You know, what does this mean? People around me, these big people around me keep using this giant word like beauty or truth or that sort of thing. And I don't know what they're talking about. Can somebody please clarify this for me? And obviously you don't have a conversation with little kids just where you go in and say, what is beauty or what is truth? Because they, you know, that's a lot for a little person to take in and to process.
Sure, it's a lot for a big person to take in.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I mean, it's fascinating. And you're right. You know, kids have an unmolded mind, okay? Mm-hmm. And we as adults, you know, we create the boxes in our heads due to societal pressures and just being human, okay? And by the way, there's been a lot of science fiction written about this, but kids, okay, have these questions, but they don't have the logic structure yet to find the answers. This is the great Larry speaking here. I don't have a PhD in this or anything like that. All right. But it seems to me if you give them the structure for thought, okay, these unbounded minds, and every kid has this, they're going to go so much further if they have the structure to think it through. And that's what we're really talking about here, right, with a teacher
Absolutely.
Leading the discussion.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
And that's exactly it. You're going to be hard pressed to find a kid who isn't asking these questions at some point in their childhood. But you're right.
Absolutely.
The part we teach them is, okay, well, how do we discuss this in a way where we're not, you know, making mistakes in logic? We're not just sort of doing wishful thinking or filling in the blanks with what we want? And how do we do it in a way where we're respectful of other people's opinions too? How can we have a classroom discussion where we're not, you know, throwing stones at each other and, you know, not getting angry when someone says, no, I don't think I agree, or I have something, mm-hmm. I have something to add to it. So it really is sort of the mechanics of discussion and argument that we're teaching them. But the, you know, the question part, that comes completely naturally. I mean, any parent will tell you that they're, for at least a small part of their child's, you know, childhood, their favorite question is why. So exactly, that's
yeah.
we're giving them the tools to be able to navigate these questions.
Yeah, we better give the parents the tools and the teachers as well, and that's what you're doing. I want to ask you this, and this is very important these days, and it's everywhere, if I may. All right, online education, everybody's doing distance learning these days. Okay, yeah, everywhere. All right. And you know, you're every single company out there, okay, providing materials, all of a sudden got hit with this. Talk about this as an, if you've seen, talk to teachers, et cetera, as an online, a distance learning exercise.
It's different online, of course.
Yes, it is.
And no one would argue that. And it's you know, having been a teacher myself, I was actually teaching a university course when we all went back into our houses and decided not to come out for
a while.
You go. So I had to pivot too. I've been doing online learning for quite a while, and I've always recognized it's not the same. You know, it's nicer to be there in person at least part of the time.
Of course.
But it can happen online, and one of the, you know, you can use digital materials to teach philosophy. We've always done interactive ebooks, and we've always done gaming apps, and you know, we've got a really robust YouTube channel full of all kinds of neat stuff for kids. So there are materials that you can use online. I would say to teachers, you know, if you can get the parents involved in this, because parents are becoming teachers now. So part of our goal has been to make it easy for parents to access this as well. And you just have to package it. You just have to say, okay, here's a lesson. You know, if you can get through this lesson, and here's a video to go with it, and here's, you know, an app and this and this and this, you're going to have, you know, by the end of it, you're going to at least have sort of planted a seed of philosophical thinking. So it can happen online. You know, it's much better if there's a discussion with another person, but all the more reason to bring parents into the fold as well. I think with online learning becoming more prevalent now out of necessity, it, more than ever before, it really does take a village to educate a child. We're kind of, you know, they've not just one teacher anymore. They've got a pit crew. They've got, you know, people at school and they've got people at home. You know, we're all trying to.
Everybody's trying. But you know what struck me as we were talking about this, you know, you were saying how kids really have questions, and they do. And I'm thinking, and I may be totally wrong on this, but this strikes me, okay, that is something online that works better individually. If you see a kid has a question. But kids are weird. They, you know, they don't want to stand out with a question that embarrasses them, even though it's a perfectly legitimate question. Okay? But when you're working with teachers, I'm just thinking about this. When you're working with kids individually, you can talk to them and bring this up. Bring up the things that you think are bothering them. Let them ask the questions. And using the logic of structured thinking, okay, get them to think something through. Amy, do you find this is better in a group or individually? And I'm not talking about therapy, okay? I'm talking about just hearing kids question and bringing them through to a logistic ending. Am I wrong? What do you find on that, Amy?
I think it depends on the learner. There are kids who mm-hmm. prefer to, okay, I'm gonna who are much more independent, and you know, they like to work on their own, and it works that way too. I mean, you just have to find a tool or a learning experience that gives them the opportunity to get it out of their heads. So journaling is great. You know, making a collage is great. If you've got someone who is very much an individual learner and they're a little bit shy to, you know, stick up their hand and, you know, jump into a group conversation, it's absolutely fine to have them work out their ideas through an art project or through journaling or, you know, making their own comic of it or, you know, it really doesn't, I don't think it impedes the discussion. I don't think it impedes the process for them to do it on their own. That's cool. I think there needs to be some sort of outlet. You know, telling them go sit in the corner and think about this. That's great. That's a start. But there are
it's actually,
the same way. Yeah,
actually,
the same way
true.
That you would engage a learner like that in any subject. You know, what can I give them so that they can demonstrate that there's at least a process going on in their head that doesn't make them, you know, feel exposed in front of everyone.
That's the point. And go into the things that you've written, your Think About It books, okay, again, Red Team Media, and just pick out an exercise or an idea or a few pages, just the top of your head, just to give the teachers an idea of what's in there. You've authored a lot of the books. What's your favorite?
Yeah. One of my favorite exercises that we ever did for the Think About It series, and it translated really well into a digital medium, is in the art book. It's called Gee, That's Pretty, and it's all about what art is and what's beautiful. And there's an exercise there where you have to design a beautiful meal. So there's an empty plate in both the paper and the digital version, and you get to sort of pull stuff onto there. This is what I think a beautiful dinner looks like. And then you get to be creative. You can doodle stuff. In the digital version, you get to drag all kinds of stuff onto the plate. There are earthworms and, you know, other objects from around the house, as well as really delicious things. And then there's a
great green globs of goofy, grimy gopher guts,
exactly,
whatever you want.
Exactly. Yeah. And then after there's a discussion, you know, why is that beautiful? You know, and if you take this away, is it still beautiful? And if I add this, does it ruin it? And what about, you know, having an earthworm on your dinner plate makes it not a beautiful meal anymore? Or if you like earthworms, what about taking it away makes it not beautiful anymore? And it's something that, you know, every kid eats and every kid, you know, gets picky sometimes. And every kid wishes, you know, wouldn't it be great if I could just decide what I wanted to eat that night, if I could have anything on my plate that I wanted. So it's a familiar scenario. That's my favorite activity.
Right. That's adorable. That is adorable. And then think about it. You know, you're writing something. Why is it pretty? And I'm weird. Here, you know, I never admitted this on the air before, but I'm a big fan of insects. Okay. I love what an insect look. I love insects. Oh, and I should have been an entomologist. Okay, I love insects, and I find them to be beautiful. I don't even kill a wasp. I pick them up and throw them the hell outside. Okay,
yeah.
And I think, you know, so many zillions of years of evolution went into this dude, and he doesn't know he's in the house. Okay, he's just stupid. I'll throw him outside, let him live his life. But my point is, when I do that, my wife literally runs out of the room. She thinks every bug is the most disgusting thing in the world. Okay, and you bring up a good point. Why this is so interesting? This is why I love doing the show. What is it about me that sees a beauty in this, where other people would just step on the bug and squash it? And that's a structured argument.
Yeah.
Okay, that is I don't need therapy, everybody. That's a structured argument. All right, and that's what we're talking about here. These questions that are unanswerable but can be structured. Okay.
And that's a really good example of a question too. I've asked that in different workshops that I've done, you know, okay, we've got all these animals out there, all these creatures out in nature. Some of them we call pets, some of them we call pests, some of them we call workers, some of them we call food. I want you to tell me the difference between them, you know.
Wow.
Why is the dog lying at my feet my best friend, but, you know, another cute furry animal out there is my dinner? And that, you know, that opens up a whole lot of a whole can of worms in and of itself. But you can ask them, you know,
it could
what
be
is
a can,
it about
it could be
that,
a can of worms.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
So what is it about bugs that bothers you so much? Why do we see
I love them.
Ourselves?
My wife, literally, she won't even walk outside if she sees a bug, which is difficult in the Maine woods where we live here. But it's just amazing. And we got to go. This is just wonderful stuff, and we're going to do more. Okay?
Great.
In fact, next time you come on, okay, I'm going to ask you, it'll give you plenty of notice on this. Bring one of you must know teachers who use your product, okay? And just bring one of them with you. I'd love to have it from an active teacher and you, okay, about how this works.
And
I think this is something teachers really need to know about this. And if you understand how to think, okay, and think logically, you can get those kids to think that, to do that. They are well on their way to success. That's all I have to say. Amy Leeske, you is the best. Okay? So thank you, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll do more. I'll be in touch just probably later today. Okay?
Great. Sounds wonderful. Stay safe, everybody.
Thanks, Amy. Yeah,
okay.
And you too, please. Stay safe.
Thank
I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Thank you, Amy.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And I told you you would love Amy. I love Amy, and I love this whole idea. Philosophy for the lower grades. I'll just call it good. I'll say K-8, okay? And go over to Red T Kids. That's the letter T. RedTKids.com. You'll be fascinated by what's up there. And as you talk about it, the questions keep coming up. And how do you find those answers of unanswerable questions? I love it, okay? And boy, kids will zoop, move forward. Great stuff. For right now, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out at EduTalk Radio. We have Facebook at EduTalk Radio and also Larry Jacobs, and we link in at Larry Jacobs, ace-ed.org. See how everything ties in? Equity and access, a sense of fairness. Okay, ace-ed.org. Join our consortium. Again, I'm Larry Jacobs. I really appreciate you listening. Thank you, Amy. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening.